Physicists working in these areas have found certain patterns of behavior that occur again and again in very different contexts. For instance, there is thought to be a universality of a sort in the distribution of energy in eddies of various size in turbulent fluids of all sorts, from the turbulence in the tidal flow in Puget Sound to the turbulence in the interstellar gas produced by a passing star. But not all fluid flows are turbulent, and turbulence, when it occurs, does not always exhibit these universal properties. Whatever the mathematical reasoning that accounts for the universal properties of turbulence, we still have to explain why this reasoning should apply to any particular turbulent fluid. And this question inevitably will be answered in terms of accidents, the speed of the tidal flow and the shape of the channel, and universals, the laws of fluid motion and the properties of water, that in turn must be explained in terms of deeper laws. Similar remarks apply to biology. Here, most of what we see depends on historical accidents, but there are some roughly universal patterns, like the rule of population biology, that dictates that males and females tend to be born in equal numbers. In 1930, the geneticist Ronald Fisher explained that once a species develops a tendency to produce, say, more males than females, any gene that gives individuals a tendency to produce more females than males spreads through the population, because the female offspring of individuals carrying this gene encounter less competition in finding a mate. Rules like this apply to a wide variety of species, and might be expected to apply even to life discovered on other planets if it reproduced sexually. The reasoning that leads to these rules is the same, whether it is applied to humans or birds or extraterrestrials. But the reasoning always rests on certain assumptions about the organisms involved, and if we ask why these assumptions should be found to be correct, we must seek the answer partly in terms of historical accidents, and partly in terms of universals, like the properties of DNA, or whatever takes its place on other planets, that must in turn find their explanation in physics and chemistry, and hence in the standard model of elementary particles. This point tends to get obscured because, in the actual work of thermodynamics, or fluid dynamics, or population biology, scientists use languages that are special to their own fields, speaking of entropy or eddies or reproductive strategies, and not the language of elementary particles. This is not only because we are unable to use our first principles actually to calculate complicated phenomena, it is also a reflection of the sort of question we want to ask about these phenomena. Even if we had an enormous computer that could follow the history of every elementary particle in a tidal flow or a fruit fly, this mountain of computer printout would not be of much use to someone who wanted to know whether the water was turbulent or the fly was alive.